Hey everybody, this is Bethany, and I'm so excited that you're joining me today for Rooftops Podcast. It's my prayer that this is a blessing to you guys, that it would encourage you and challenge you to activate your own faith as you hear God speak to you. So I want to start off by just asking you the question today, what do you see? Just like right out of the gate, a question, but just follow with me. I think you'll understand where I'm coming from in just a moment. Have you ever known anyone, maybe at some point in your life, you met someone, knew someone, and you saw them maybe in one way? You had a certain lens, you know, that maybe made you see them through that lens in a certain way. Like you had this general idea about them and kind of how they lived, what they did, things they were good at, things they were not so good at, whatever it might be, but you just had this viewpoint of them. And then maybe you hadn't seen them in a while, maybe years, I don't know, but later down the road, you see them again and they're like totally different. They've changed, or they're living a life that you never could have imagined them living before. I kind of have a story a little bit like that. A while back, I heard of this guy starting up a gym out in New York. I think he started one in LA as well. And he opened these gyms and they ended up becoming highly successful from what I've heard. And so they're really well known. They train celebrities there. There's all sorts of magazines and things like that that I was, as I was looking into it, was seeing his picture, the founder. And I was so shocked when I did realize who the founder was, because I had grown up with this kid in a way. Like, he lived down the street from me. It was the same kid that I went to school with every day. Like, we rode the same bus. I can remember so many times stopping at his house, you know, picking him up on the way to school, just our normal bus route. And I also remember something kind of funny, but it was random. It was like every single morning in high school, I would see him in the halls and he would have a gallon of chocolate milk every day, y'all. And he would just be drinking that chocolate milk, and he would drink the whole thing probably by like second hour. And he was a nice guy, right? I didn't know him super well, but he was pretty nice overall, maybe kind of quiet. But I would have never guessed back in elementary, junior high, or high school that he was going to be the one that would move to New York and open up like this renowned gym. And the thing about it is, for me anyways, in my life, I have come to realize that I have such a limited viewpoint sometimes. Like, my view and what I see in this world, or just especially with people, sometimes can be so limited. And I think it's because we just often relate to people through our natural eyes, like what we can see, what's obvious to the eye. But God sees very differently than how we see. He sees us through his eyes of love, through the lens of purpose, the very purpose for our life. And I thank God for this, because God's viewpoint can look so different than often how we portray ourselves on the outside to be. God sees the heart. And we see this when Samuel the prophet, he goes to the house of Jesse and he's looking for the next king of Israel. And Samuel sees Eliab, one of the sons of Jesse, and he's for sure, like, he thinks this is who the Lord has chosen. Like, he's God's anointed for sure. But in 1 Samuel 16, verse 7, the Lord said to Samuel, "Don't judge by his appearance or height, for I have rejected him." The Lord doesn't see things the way you see them. People judge by outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. And Samuel goes through this process of going through seven sons that Jesse had, until there's finally just like one more left, and he's out in the field, and they're like, oh, that guy, kind of like a nobody, right? And just this young boy out tending to the sheep. And they end up calling for him, and Samuel's like, bring him in. And so David, this young man, he's the one that's out in the field. He comes in and he ends up being the very one that God had chosen, the very one that God had in mind the whole time when he was passing by the other sons of Jesse. And so David ends up being that chosen one that God called to be the next king. And when David became king, when he was older, there got to a point where they needed to raise up a new king. And so David was going to appoint Solomon as the successor that would take the throne. And the thing about this is, like, I was thinking how David could have picked any one of his sons, maybe one of his sons that might have more closely resembled David's own character or personality, because he had several sons to choose from. So he could have picked one of his other sons, maybe like what would fit the context of his mind of what the next king should look like. Because David, I mean, he grew up in the field. Like I had just mentioned, you know, he knew how to get his hands dirty. He was a working guy. He was a shepherd, like probably taking care of sheep isn't the cleanest job ever. He played the harp, and the Bible says that he was a man of war. And even when he came into his kingship, even though God called him to be the king, it didn't come without tremendous amount of trial, challenge, and even suffering. So much testing and difficulty that David went through before he ever even came king. And David and Solomon, in some regard in this way, are really quite different, because Solomon grew up in royalty. I mean, he was born in a palace, and his father had set him up to be great. And Solomon was incredibly wise in all sorts of matters, human affairs, matters of life and plants and animals and all sorts of things. The wisest man. He was a businessman. He had a lot of riches. He was wealthy. And so where David was a man of war, Solomon was more of a man of peace. But David had heard the word of the Lord. It was God's will that Solomon would be king. And so I believe he was able to see the calling of God on Solomon's life. But still, he had to trust in God's plan, trust in God's ability to bring Solomon up, raise Solomon up as a king, even though his own leadership, David's leadership, would look very different than the leadership of his son. And I think about my oldest daughter, and from the time I feel like she was in the womb, I just knew she had such a powerful calling on her life, and I feel like the Lord revealed to me that it was a real unique calling, that she was going to do ministry, but it was going to be not in a typical way, if that makes sense. And so, you know, she's 22 now, and I'm so proud of her. It's really cool. She actually serves at the church with us, and I'm excited to see what the Lord's going to do in her future. But when she was younger, I think she might have felt like ministry was not for her, but rather it was for like her sister, because her sister sang on the worship team, and well, that's obvious ministry, right? Or her mom was teaching this class or teaching that, and so that's a given, right? That's ministry. Or her dad is preaching all the time, and so it's like, hello, you know, that's ministry. And so there's all these obvious ministry activities going on around her, and so we had to encourage her throughout her growing up that, hey, you are so gifted by God. She's always been incredibly discerning and very intelligent. She's very disciplined. And honestly, I felt like Dave Ramsey was living with me when she was just like 15 years old. And so my point in saying all that is that not all ministry fits in the context of a Sunday morning. And sometimes we place people in these categories based on our context, meaning that we assume this or that about someone because of our knowledge, which again can be very limited. But what if we don't have the right context for them? What if we don't have the correct knowledge, and maybe we're not seeing what God sees in them? What if we're only seeing people through our natural eyes, which again can be so limiting? So is there someone in your life possibly that maybe you've even just written off, like they are never going to straighten up. They are never going to get it together. They're never going to turn their life around. They're never going to be good at this or that. They're not getting better, or they're never going to break free from that addiction. I can remember just speaking out of experience growing up with a mom that was addicted to meth, to cocaine, and then meth, that she was in her mid-40s And I remember praying and just fasting for her because she couldn't get free. And she went through every kind of self-help or help that she had to go through that was ordered for her, and nothing worked. And she, at this point, had been addicted more years than she had not been addicted. And so it looked like such a hopeless situation, you know, and the return rates to meth addiction and those things are so high. But God broke that addiction off of her. And so no one is ever too far gone. Or maybe just thinking, oh, this person or that person, they're never going to give their heart to Christ. Or just, they're never going to be great. Like, it's just not in them. They just don't have what it takes. And statements like that remind me of a few verses in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, beginning in verse 26. Remember, dear brothers and sisters, that few of you were wise in the world's eyes, or powerful, or wealthy when God called you. Instead, God chose the things the world considers foolish in order to shame those who think they are wise. And he chose things that are powerless and weak to shame those who are powerful. God chose things despised of the world, things counted as nothing at all, and used them to bring to nothing what the world considers important. And maybe you are hearing this or watching this and you're like doing a hallelujah dance. For me on the inside, even now, I've read this verse so many times, but this is how I feel because this describes my life to a T. Like, if anyone knew me in the past, they wouldn't tell you, oh yeah, I could see Bethany doing that, or I could see the way that Bethany's life turned out makes total sense. No way. They would not have said that. And I would actually go a step further and say, not only would they not have guessed that my life would look like it is now, but I wouldn't have guessed either. And they wouldn't only tell you that they wouldn't guess it, that they couldn't see it in me, but they would probably recommend that I shouldn't. Not just that I couldn't, but I shouldn't, right? Like, I shouldn't be doing what I'm doing today. And I would have agreed with them wholeheartedly. Because not only did others not see what God saw in me, but I didn't even see what God saw in me because I wasn't qualified enough. I wasn't gifted enough. And so if people are shocked about how my life has turned out, me too. That's what I would just say. I'm totally shocked, more than you, trust me. And at times me and my husband have both just kind of laughed at this, like, we'll be in a moment, like just in the thick of whatever we're doing, and maybe even on stage, like this has happened, and this moment will come, and it's like we just are in awe and amazed, and it's like everything stops for a second, and we're just kind of like, how did we get here? How did we get here? What are we doing? And I've told people before, like, I couldn't have planned this out for my life if I would have given it my best go at it. All I know is that Jesus showed up in my life, that he made himself real to me, that he saved me, and that I fell in love with him. And by the grace of God, here I am. And that's the thing. God changes people. He's still changing people. He can change the whole trajectory of someone's life. And so I'm not just a better version of myself. Like, this isn't new and improved Bethany. Like, when I got saved, no, I'm a new creation. I am not that same person anymore. It's like a whole nother life. And I thank God that this sweet older woman named Frida, actually. I was doing nails at a salon in between some college classes. I remember it was the summer, and I was doing her nails, and so she would come every 2 weeks to get her nails redone, and she was different than anybody else I'd ever met, and I was used to working in a salon, and women are catty, and it's cutthroat, you know, and there isn't a lot of pleasant words and encouraging words going around. And I remember her coming in and just speaking words of love and life. And I'm so thankful for her because she's the one that ended up leading me to the Lord, that I'm so thankful that she thought that I was worth believing for, that I was worth praying for, that I was worth sharing the gospel with. She saw me through God's eyes. So again, what do you see? What do you see? I dare you to take a look around you, like really look and ask God about the people that are around you. What's in them? God, what's in them? Let's ask God to help us to see them through His lens of love and through His purpose so that we can begin to actually relate to them the way that God already sees them, that we would pray for them, that we would speak life over them, that we would call out potential, that we would prophesy over their lives. Because no one is too far off, too far gone, too much this, too much that. No one is too far off from the saving grace of Jesus Christ. So I hope that encourages you to think about what you're seeing and maybe looking around you and letting God speak to you about what He sees in those people around you that maybe you haven't seen yet. So love you guys. Thank you for listening. Have a great day.